dear fellow redeemed. The crowds were gathered around Jesus, and you would expect that it was the most wonderful, beautiful, most amazing thing in the world. That people who had been trapped, perhaps through their own choices, perhaps through no fault of their own, people who had been trapped were seated at his feet. Seated at his feet and listening and hearing for the first time of a God who loved them in spite of what they had done and in spite of what they had been. You would think that that was the most beautiful picture in the whole entire world. And Jesus thought so too. And that's why he gives these parables when he hears and he knows the muttering that is going around. Can you believe it? Does Jesus know what kind of person he is? Does Jesus know what she has done? And Jesus turned to them with the most blistering statement of law that he could sum up. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. More joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who do not need to repent, because those 99 aren't there. The 99, those Pharisees standing around, sitting around, and thinking to themselves, oh, but Jesus doesn't know, and Jesus shouldn't do that. There's more rejoicing over the one who is in heaven than the 99 who didn't think they needed Jesus. Because there's no rejoicing over those who are not in heaven. And that really zooms us in on the idea that we're talking about today. Faith alone. Faith alone. And where does that fit in our relationship to God? The example we have from Hosea. God says to Hosea, Hosea, go marry this prostitute Gomer. Go marry her and have kids with her and start a family with her. And after a while, she wants her freedom or doesn't want to be part of the marriage. And she leaves. Strikes out on her own as an entrepreneur, to put it lightly. And it doesn't end well for her. And God says to Hosea, go and seek her out and find her and buy her back from the trap in which she is ensnared. The same God who turns to the Pharisees and says, God is rejoicing over that lost coin that he has found, over the lost sheep who had been on the verge of being devoured. And where does faith fit? Because you understand that by our own perception, we cannot, and we normally judge improperly about these things. We normally judge improperly about the relationship between who we are, what we do, and the faith that we have. It's very easy to judge improperly because we can see. We can see the attendance at worship. We can see the actions that are taken or aren't taken. We can see the sin that is engaged in or avoided. But it's very easy to judge improperly. And so I ask you today, out of all the questions that we could ask about and talk about, many of them prompted by that beautiful hymn we just sang, but the question that I have for you today, where do you fit in these parables of Jesus? Where do you fit in these parables of Jesus among the perceived 99 who think that, you know, they're in the right spot? Among the perceived 9 coins still clinking around in that woman's purse? Because Jesus turns to us and he says, dear friend, the joy that he has in rescuing you is the exact same joy that he has in rescuing every other person. And this is the way that he does it, through faith. Not by our perception of what we see and what we can count and what we can measure, but by the faith that looks to Jesus. the faith that cries out, yeah, not by my own works, not I, but Christ through me. You might think of it this way, of that woman who wanted to make a purchase, and she had the money set aside and saved up, and then she looked and it wasn't there. And it was the day when she had to make this big purchase. Maybe it was a new car. Maybe it was a new house. Maybe just the down payment. And she said, where'd it go? I just had it. You know, perhaps you've been like that. You lose something, you set it down. It was just right here. Where did it go? Where did my car keys go? Where did I put my phone down? And the woman says, well, it's got to be here somewhere. Tearing her hair out, you know. Maybe it's a delivery person coming with a package that she has to pay on delivery. And so she turns on all the lights. And she gets out her dust mop to mop in all the corners. And she gets out the vacuum. And she vacuums. And she goes up and down through the entire house, searching high and low for that one little coin. And Jesus says that's the attitude that he has about you. That he had you in his hands. And it was like he lost you. And the Son of God bent down in the dirt of this world and searched through the dust of this world to find you, to seek you out, to pick up that grubby little coin from the corner where it had fallen, to dust it off, put it in his pouch, and say, this one is mine. That we see ourselves in the same place as that sheep, that lamb who had wandered off. And where every other sheep in the flock is saying, not my circus, not my monkeys, the shepherd says, that one's mine. I have to go get it now. Before the lion finds it. Before the bear finds it. Not because that 1% loss is such a huge deal. I mean, 1%? Come on. But because he cares. He cares about that lost sheep. And as somebody who has been brought into the flock of Christ, we understand and we need to keep remembering that it is by faith. Because it would be very easy and very simple to judge by what we see as the externals and the appearances and what things look like. But the standing with God is something that is unseen. The faith that God creates is something that is unseen. But it makes itself known. That's the cool part. That when God brought you to faith, he brought you to Jesus, and he pointed you to Jesus, and he put you in his pouch to hold on to you. And his promise is the exact same thing that he said all the way back in, you know, like John chapter 10, that this shepherd holds on to his sheep, and no one and nothing can snatch him out of his hand. And so he says to you and to me, dear friend, do you see what your Lord has done for you? Do you see today the joy that God has over rescuing you? That even if you were just the one coin out of 10 or the one sheep out of 100, Jesus Christ himself would have come for you joyfully and gladly. That he who actually can judge properly and can judge by reality, he saw how badly we were and how bad our situation was. And so he came and he sought you out. And you see, the Son of God combing through the dust of the earth, crying in the manger and saying, that's the one. That one's mine. And Jesus cares so much about holding on to his coins and his sheep that he doesn't want anything to come in the way. Which is where we get that shepherd standing up and saying, you know what, there's more rejoicing in heaven over this one than over the 99 who think they don't need a Savior. That's why he inspired Paul to write to the Corinthians again. Back in 1 Corinthians, they had heard about this man who was sleeping with his stepmother, and the congregation was proud. And Paul says, you know what, you need to address that sin. And they did. But then they didn't stop. When the man had been brought to repentance and he walked back in through the church doors, everybody turned around, gave him the cold shoulder and said, "You know what you did, and we know what you did." And the good shepherd couldn't let that lost coin, that lost sheep, to slip away again. And so he has Paul write to the Corinthians again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he has Paul write again. And he says to these Corinthians that you need to reaffirm your love for this person. That this person who has returned to the faith needs to have that Christian love demonstrated. That, yeah, he's changed his ways. And he's come to repentance. And you don't want Satan to take advantage of us. Because people who would forget their standing with God by faith alone are people who judge entirely by what they see and what they know. But as Christians who know our standing before God as solely by His mercy, and He's made me His own through faith, and He's done all the work there. As Christians who know that, then we have every bit of joy that our Savior has in finding the lost, in finding the lost coin, in finding the lost sheep, that Jesus has brought one more back, and we embrace them with open arms and say, I don't want you to think that your sin somehow isn't forgiven. I don't want you to think that somehow there's something you have to do to earn your way back in, as though there's some penance or some guilt that you still have to carry. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, we joyfully receive you as a fellow Christian. It's the same thing that God was teaching in that prophet Hosea. When God had told Hosea to marry this unfaithful woman, and God knew that she would continue to be unfaithful. And God says, but do you see God's love for you? That even though we are coins who get lost, are sheep who wander off, are people who don't always remain faithful to God, our God who is faithful to us has brought you to faith and has made you His own, so that you and I can say, yeah, this isn't my work, but Christ through me. So that you and I can say, when somebody is living in that unrepentant sin of 1 Corinthians, we speak to them. And then when they turn away from it, we receive them back joyfully, like in 2 Corinthians. That we can sit together, tax collectors together, lost coins gathered together in God's pouch of the church, to say, you have been found, and you have a place here. And not just you, but every single person you know has a place here. And so when we talk about faith, it's really this understanding that Jesus has done it all, and that the life we live is something that, you know, we want to glorify God and give glory to God and say, thank you, Jesus. It's a way that we want to encourage one another in this faith and encourage one another as we sing God's truth to each other, to say that, you know what, in this, you're not alone. You're not alone. No matter what it is, whether it's something that happened to you, whether it's a series of bad choices of your own, whether it's the heartbreak that you don't want anyone else to know about, and the daily pain that you carry, you're not alone. Because you have a God who is joyful enough to come and find you. Joyful enough to bring you together with other Christians, other lost coins, and other lost sheep. A God who searched through the dust to find His people again. Doesn't that just at least give us a little bit more of God's perspective of the joy that God has for others? The joy that God has for each person sitting here is something that He wants reflected among His people. The joy of knowing Christ and being found in Him and being given, entrusted into our hands, the truth of His resurrection and life forever with Him. Everybody sat around. The Pharisees got put back in their place. And you could almost hear the first little sniffle as the tax collectors and the prostitutes looked and they saw Jesus, perhaps with different eyes, that their joyful Savior was glad to have found them and wanted to keep them. Amen.